couple of weeks ago, a month or so ago, Phil was talking about praise and worship and how it, you know, it seems like when we're cheering for our team to, you know, go, 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 or whatever stadium event we may be in, it's easy just to get excited, lift hands, and stand up and rejoice and just, hey, there's a, you know, the touchdown, or goal. And so follow me with this, okay, because I've seen it done in stadiums where someone stands up and they say one word and they tell you to say another word. So follow me on this, okay? We're going to get going here this morning. Ready? I say Father, you say God. Father.
God.
Father.
God.
I say Jesus, you say Christ. Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus.
Christ.
I say Holy, you say Spirit. Holy.
Spirit.
Holy.
Spirit.
I say Hale, you say Luya.
Hale.
Hale. Amen. I raise my hand, you raise your hand. I raise my hand, you raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. I love getting excited in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, a little over a year ago, the Lord placed the word. That's a good, because the word that got placed was place. P-L-A-C-E. He put a word into my spirit, into my heart. And ever since then, I just began just researching that, what God has in my life for place. And my problem is my words that he gives me, like that, just mushrooms to something much more bigger than I can hone down in like 30, 40 minutes for a message. Be thankful. I honed it down from an hour and a half. So, but it really is the Holy Spirit that just brings it all together. Once I've done all the research, and I just love digging into the Word and finding out what God has to say. So let's start covering this in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this time in your presence. That you are always, always true to your word, that where two or more are gathered, you are in their midst, Lord. And it's just more than obvious this morning that you're manifesting your presence here this morning. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that it is more of you and less of me, that hearts and minds and spirits are attentive, and that what is taken in will be come living and active in their hearts, in their minds, in their attitudes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When I was considering this word place, I thought, okay, our place in society, our place in family, our place in ministry, our place in the marketplace or workforce, our place in life, our place to grow, our place to prosper, our place to train, all this I was writing down in my notes now. Our place to teach, our place to listen, our place to pay attention, our place to learn, our place to walk, our place to run, our place to hide. You could go on and on. And it ended up with the first thing I wrote down, our place in his kingdom. A lot of places. When we find our place in his kingdom, then everything else that I just mentioned, it just kind of comes into place on its own when we find our place in his kingdom. You might object to a place of running and hiding, but that's what David had to do for a period of time. He was running from Saul. He had to hide, run and hide in caves for a while. But God changes places that we're at. He was there for a while, but then he's on the throne. So our place has changed, but it's a kingdom place, no matter where God places us. There's no one here this morning that's not placed here for a reason this morning. I really believe that. I believe that every time I come to church or I come in the midst of a gathering of God's people, that it's no accident that you're here this morning. No accident whatsoever. You're here because God wanted you right there in the place you're sitting at. So I want to go first over his place in our life and then our place in his life, our place in his kingdom, our place in his church, in his body, okay? So his place in our life is that he will never leave us or forsake us. Never. Never. And I'm going to go over just a few scriptures and tie all that in so we can see that. Even with Noah, who built the ark, and God told him to build the ark, and it took him 100 years to do that. And then he and his family and all the animals were placed in there. God placed them in there. God brought the animals. God closed the door. But it wasn't a permanent place. What, it rained for 40 days, 40 nights, and then 150 days or so, and before the dry land began to appear, and then he came out of that place and back to help populate the earth and bring the earth back the way God wanted it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we can read in Genesis chapter 12 all the way to the end of Genesis after that point to chapter 50, and it's all about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Abraham being called out of one land that's really far away, and God said, I'm calling you to a new place, a new land. And Jacob, one of Jacob's sons, his second to the youngest son, Joseph, found himself in places, I'm sure, growing up as a child, he never thought he would be in these places. He's found himself in a pit, because that's where his brothers put him. Then he found himself in a place of slavery, because he got sold into slavery. Then he found himself in jail. And then he found himself in a place of being second in charge of all of Egypt. Because I believe his place was a kingdom place, no matter how bad, how much it might felt, I don't belong here. There was a place in each one of those. Daniel in the lion's den, there was a place for him in that. But God never left him or forsaken him. God never left Joseph or forsook him. God sent angels and closed the mouths of the lions. That's what the scriptures tells us. And the king said, from that point, we worship no other God but Daniel's God. And then there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, where three went in, but then there were four. The king said, there's someone else in there. I only put three in there. Jesus never left them nor forsook them. And the king said, it looks like it's the Son of God in there. And it was. And we could talk about David all the times. The Lord just never forsook him. You know, David, the man after God's own heart. And yes, he went through some tough times. He was on the run. He was hiding. And but somehow he knew and understood, we might get to that in a little bit, that through his lineage, there was going to be a King of kings and Lord of lords that lives forever. David understood that. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Peter in jail. There's scriptures in Acts concerning Peter in jail and Paul and Silas in jail. But God never left them. He was right there with them the whole time. And he will never leave us or forsake us. He is always with you. Amen. His place is in you, with you, beside you, in front of you, and behind you. There's no place that he's not, because he's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. There's no place that you can go that he is not going to be with you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Just a little bit of a personal testimony. Some of you might have heard it. It was several years ago. But I just want to concentrate on this point. Early on in my married life, maybe around year three, and I'm coming up on 55 in June. So well, thank you. But early on, I found myself in a miry pit. I found myself in a place I did not belong. And I was with someone else besides my wife. But God stuck out his hand. He was never without me. And one of David's Psalms, years later, one of David's Psalms, Psalms 40, and we're going to turn to that. You can begin turning there. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3, just really began to minister to me and show me how much God loved me in the midst of the place I was in. Filthy rags, okay? I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That was where I was. But he took me out of that. He was never... Even though I might have thought I was all alone in that, I was not. He was right there with me. He took his place on Calvary for us, pouring out his guilt-free blood. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. A few Sundays ago, I was... in church, I forget if it was the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service, but I was worshiping. My hands were raised. I was just in the middle of praising. I just love our worship team. Aren't they fantastic? I just love them. Yeah, amen. They are so talented, so good, so dedicated and committed. But in the middle of worship, my hands are raising, and all of a sudden I hear the word Walmart. I think, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And I said, Walmart. So I'm still worshiping, and he begins to talk to me about all their products. You know, he said, Morris, you buy them. There's an Equate for this. There's an Equate to O'Keefe's hand lotion, which I love because it's half the price. But then all of a sudden he drops this phrase to my spirit. There is no equate to Jesus. I'm thinking, wow. There is no equate to Jesus. I mean, I've known that a long time. But then all of a sudden during a worship service, Walmart and Equate, and I come to, there's no equate to No one could do what he did for us. No one. He was the perfect sacrifice. Let that sink in for just a minute. No equate to Jesus. Years later, the Lord, just as the psalm said, about a new song in my mouth, the Lord gave me a song concerning that. And I titled it Perfect Sacrifice. I had a great friend of mine. I had some music running around in my head to it, but I gave it to him. He said, Morris, I can put that to music. And he did. In our church, we sang it off and on. But here are the words. Because this is where Morris was, and this is where Morris came to realize how much Jesus did for me. You came into my life amidst the toil and the strife. Your blood covered me and your love set me free. You paid the price and set me free. You gave your life and set me free. Now my soul belongs to you, my heart's for you, to the one who set me free. I will praise your name because you took the blame. You're the perfect sacrifice. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, your blood covered me and set me free. Oh, Jesus, your love covered me and set me free. I sing that song sometimes just to myself. The Lord gave it to me. Because he did. He came and set us all absolutely free. You know, his death on the cross, even before that, you know, he was here before the foundation of the world. And then he was in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then he walked among us. He was in the temple at 12 years old giving instructions to the rabbis. He chose the ones that would walk with him. Specifically 12, and some of them even walked closer with him. So he had a place in teaching. He had a place in eternity. But he came here and walked as a man walks. And he sacrificed his body for us on the cross. But guess what? He ain't on the cross. His place was there for a while. Then his place was in the tomb, because we're coming up on celebrating that soon. His place was in a tomb, but the place isn't there anymore. His place now is the right hand of the Father, and we're going to look at that because he's interceding for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's interceding for us even now. Okay? So his kingdom place. I want to look at Psalms 110, verse 1. And this is just the beginning. I've got several I'm going to go through here. And I'm not trying to breeze through them, but I think it ties all this in of Jesus Christ, our Savior, sitting at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. That's his place now. So David in Psalms 110, verse 1 states, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." David knew prophetically where the Lord was going to be, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where he was going to be, way before he even got there. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Matthew mentions something about this. Luke mentions something about this. I just chose this scripture out of Mark. Chapter 16, verse 9. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He's there for us. Several places in Paul's writing. We'll look at Romans chapter 8. But scriptures in Luke, scriptures in Acts. Stephen spoke of this, that when he was being stoned, that he saw the Son sitting at the right hand. But in Romans chapter 8, we're going to start about halfway through verse 34. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He still has a place in our lives. And then from Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 19, about halfway through verse 19, and go to 23. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. That's us. To the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, seated at the right hand of God for us. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, which is a little bit over, two books over. Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You may think I'm just pounding, but to get the fact that he is seated with God, Father God in the heavenlies at his right hand to intercede for you, for us. Now, 1 John, turn to 1 John chapter 2. And it's the first two verses there. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also the sins of the world. He's not only interceding for us, but for the whole world. That's a lot of interceding. And I'm thinking, sometimes he has a lot to keep up with just with me, okay? And I'm thankful that he's there, that he can handle that. Excuse me. The voice is getting dry. We have one who speaks to the Father on our behalf. So he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us no matter what. He took his place on Calvary for us. And now he's taking his place to intercede for us. So where's our place? Where's our place? And believe me, I'm just hitting the tip of the iceberg about where our place is in the kingdom of God. I'm just hitting some things that the Lord put on my heart this morning. We have a place to carry his fragrance. Scriptures tell us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We as believers, everywhere we go, we carry an aroma, a fragrance of Christ. Whether we realize it or not. And I've been in places where I have forgotten that I carry the fragrance of Christ. And I've had, I think I might have shared this. I had to go back in the Taco Bell one time and apologize to someone because I was definitely not exuding the fragrance of Christ. And a butcher shop one time. So, which was a little scary. My 9-year-old son was with me. I'm getting sidetracked. But I pushed the door open here. I opened that door and every man in there just stood there with his knife at his. And I'm thinking, okay. But I did. I had to apologize to someone and ask them to forgive me. Our place in him is a place of humility, and Phil has been talking about that and going through Nehemiah. He said, Phil was talking about who will go low? Am I willing to go low to humble myself and follow him even in the midst of opposition? Am I willing to take my place where he is leading me to be even in the midst of opposition? And I wrote in my notes, even bigger, am I willing to be placed where he wants me to be? Yeah. Or am I going to struggle with it? Am I going to fight it? And I have before. I have fought not wanting to be where God wanted to place me. To place ourselves so as to be able to move as he moves. First of the year, Pastor Phil was talking about new ground. And also that we as a church, he felt a move of God coming, but not just for the church at Vertical. It was for this whole area, a move of God coming. And I don't want to lose sight of that either. But are we prepared for a movement of God and to find our place in that movement? To not know what it may look like. I don't know what the move of God may look like, but am I willing to accept it when it's come and say, okay, here am I, place me where you want me to be a part of this. You look at the world now and you thinking, I'm thinking, how in the world is he ever going to have that movement, a move of God? And I go back to where Pastor Phil was speaking to us last week, out of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to be done. I feel it was that movement that God's going to make up here in this area. Lord, prepare our hearts for it, to be placed where you have us to be placed. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We set our minds on earthly things, we're going to think, oh, impossible. No. God can do that movement and place us exactly where he wants us to be. Placing ourselves for the benefit of his kingdom purposes. Listen, when I think it was, it might have been the last time I spoke about him being the center of it all for us. His word being the center of it all. And we do that by being in the word, by memorizing the word, by singing the word, by waking up and knowing that God's at the center of it all, every moment of every day. So when we place him in our lives, making him the center of it all, then he has a desire to place us in the right place at the right time in and for his kingdom purposes. It's our willingness to be placed, to know he has a place for us. When Phil was going through the first few chapters of Nehemiah, I believe it's chapter 3, if you read through that, at least 14 times the phrase next to him, next to them, and then it stated some different ways. But what I was talking about, everyone had their place. Next to him, so-and-so and so-and-so was building this section of the wall. Next to him, so-and-so and so-and-so had their place to build this part of the wall. So-and-so and so-and-so replaced this gate. We all have a place. They had a place in rebuilding the wall. We all have a place here and now in his kingdom. We all have a place here and now at Vertical Church. Or if you've visited, you have a place here and now, wherever God wants to place you. And we have a place now. Turn to, if you will, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Phil has been over these scriptures before. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to concentrate on about three. But I want to, just for emphasis, I want to read about what God's given us as gifts. There are different kinds. I'm at verse 4, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, discernment, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm going to concentrate now on verse 11, and then we'll go to 18 and 27. All these, what I just read, all those giftings, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. He gives them to each one. He actually places them. He sets them. Look at verse 18, same chapter 12. But in fact, God has arranged, placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. We all have a specific place in His body, just as He wants us to be. Not as where I want to be placed, but it's where He wants to place me. And the giftings listed here in chapter 12 that are to operate in us and that we're to be put and arrange them, it's as He wants them. Now look down at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're all part of this. We all have our place. We have a place in His body, and we have a place in His kingdom, and we have a place in fulfilling His kingdom purposes. Our place in His kingdom has purpose. No one's here by mistake. We have our place in His kingdom and for His kingdom purposes. There is a scripture that is framed that's on the wall right where I sit every morning and do my morning devotions in this chair. And right on the wall there, there's this scripture. And it's from Psalms 26, verse 8. I love the house where You live, O Lord, the place where Your glory dwells. And I thought, for a number of years, I equated that to the house of God, people coming. And it is. It is. It's about coming together here corporately to worship. Any house, all over North Georgia, where all over the world, people coming together. The place where His glory dwells. When I found this scripture, I'm not cherry-picking the scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, oh, sorry, I got to give a shout-out to the, thank you, Bree. You caught my, I had the wrong chapter down, and she's good. She corrected my mistake. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, I know that as part of Paul's dissertation on sexual immorality. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. And that's the place where God dwells, in us, now, here and now. I think when we get a hold of something that like that, that we carry the inside, the indwelling Holy Spirit is with us. Something supernaturally happens when we really get a hold of that. That wherever we go, we carry, yes, His fragrance, but we carry Him with us. I'm going to have the worship team head back up this way. the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just as we declared at the beginning, has a place in our lives. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you, no matter what we go through. He took his place on Calvary as the perfect sacrifice. No one else could even come close. There is no equate to Jesus. No equate to Jesus. And his place now is the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Praise God. And we as believers have our place in his kingdom here on earth. Our place in his body here and now. To carry his fragrance. To humble ourselves in obedience. To be placed where he would want us placed. To know and recognize and be willing to, sometimes it's uprooting our lives to be in the right place. I've done that more than once. Just, I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying that was me. To be where God wanted me to be. And to activate our giftings and callings for his kingdom purposes. To know that the house he lives in is right here. I want to pray today, or pray with those today who may be looking for their kingdom place. And you may be one, hey, this is a new message. I want to know more about this Jesus. We have a prayer team that would be willing to talk with you, elders. Maybe you're ready to make that next step and saying, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want the one that shed his blood for me to set me free from shame and guilt and condemnation. I want that. I'm ready to accept that. So if that's you and you, for the first time, believing that Jesus Christ came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived and walked among us, and he freely gave his life for us. He was crucified. He died, he was buried, but on the third day he rose. He sits at the right hand of God. And you ready to make Jesus Christ the King of Kings and Lord of Lords your life? That's your first step, the first place you want to be. Please come. Please come. You may be saying, I used to know my place, but I'm not sure anymore. God has a place for you still. And I think there's some sitting here that, and I can say this because I've walked through this, done this. You might be struggling with God, maybe where you know he's trying to place you. Been there, Lord, done that, got the t-shirt. And the Lord told me recently, yeah, but I've got a different kind of t-shirt and a different color this time. Don't you want to come on? It's going to be different. I would like to be able to just lay hands. That's scriptural. There's nothing weird about it. Just lay hands and just pronounce three words over you if you're willing to come. I'm just agreeing with what you may be walking down for his kingdom place. Just to declare that over you. Because if you're walking in it and you're making that decision, I just want to agree with what you're facing. Just to declare over you his kingdom place. His kingdom place over your life. I think you might be surprised what comes of that when you're willing to step out in faith and say, I think I need that. Because he has a place for you. I almost hesitated to share this at the first service, but I feel like I want to share it again here. there's some couples here that I consider, that the Lord considers. I've seen them in action. Power couples. You say, power couples? Never seen that in the Bible. Well, Priscilla and Aquila, they were power couples. They did some things for the kingdom of God that no one else could do because they were together. They were one-minded in doing it. And you look back on Esther and King Xerxes. Man, you talk about a power couple. They did things for the kingdom of God and put order into things, corrected things. They were power couples here. If you say, well, I'm not going to come down and say I'm a power couple. No, you're not. God is. God is saying that. I just want to agree with it. I want to be a part of it and saying yes. And pray over you. His kingdom place. Amen. So we go in this time of worship. Just consider that.